Welcome to the Hockey Writers Flames Faceoff, a weekly show with our top Calgary Flames writing crew bringing you the latest news, rumors, trades, player grades, game results, and much more. From training camp to the playoffs, from draft day to the trade deadline, our team covers everything that happens with the Flaming Seat. So get set, get focused. It's time for the Flames Faceoff. Flames Faceoff.
Hello, everybody. My name is Paul Quinney, and this is the Flames Faceoff, brought to you by thehockeywriters.com. I'm joined today by my colleagues, Greg Chizowski and Brett Krause. Welcome, gentlemen. We've got a lot to get into here in tonight's show, so let's get right at it. I'd like to do the week in review, and I can't sugarcoat it for the Flames. This week was a disaster, frankly. They went up against the Florida Panthers, the Tampa Bay Lightning, and the Carolina Hurricanes. And this week was really regarded as a test of their mettle. It was really regarded as the week where they'd show whether they were a Stanley Cup contender or not. The fact of the matter is that they bombed. They lost all three games in convincing fashion. They were outscored 16 goals against, that is, to 6-4. Judging by the social media that I've been reading out of Calgary, Flames Nation is in crisis again. Some fans are already going through, I don't know what you'd call it, the seven stages of death. So we've gone from anger, but a few have made the leap to acceptance. So those folks are ready to blow the team up and enter onto a rebuild. I don't know if we're there or not, but let's discuss that. Gentlemen, you know, how worried should Flames Nation be at this point after those three games? And are they really a cup contender? Were they ever a cup contender? Greg, I'll start with you on that one.
You know, it's kind of hard to read it at this point because, yes, they lost three consecutive games against the top three teams in the Eastern Conference. And one could argue they're like one of the top three teams in the league at this point. So, yes, you know, I think you should be worried a little bit because they were in these games at times. They showed some pushback. They showed a bit of grit to kind of stay and hang in some of these games. But in the end, they were just outclassed, you know, by these three teams. And if these were measuring stick games, they didn't measure up in any of them. But but that being said, you know, like, can we cut them some slack? They had a 19-day break, and then they played a couple of sub 500 teams in Seattle and Chicago to get warmed up. So I really don't know if losing these three, you know, is like the death knell of the season. You know, I don't think people should jump to conclusions. I'm curious how they'll respond to this. The only problem is because of the wacky scheduling with the COVID restrictions and attendance restrictions in Canadian rinks, they only play one game next week. So it's kind of hard to really see how they bounce back from this. And it's against Ottawa as well, which is one of the lesser teams in the Eastern Conference. So to be honest with you, I don't know if we should be hitting the panic button yet or just kind of see what happens in the next few weeks here, because I think the underlying metrics of this team, they're still, I was reading, they still have good for like 5-on-5 possession numbers and expected goals for and all these advanced stats that I don't really understand that well, but it seems like they're still a pretty good team. So let's just see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, Sutter was saying that in a post-game presser after, I forget which game now, probably the Carolina Hurricanes when they lost that one, and basically saying, hey, folks, you know, don't go too far here. We still got a lot of the season left. You guys pushing the panic button now are the same guys that were saying, hey, you know, we should start planning the Stanley Cup parade. So somewhere in the middle is probably the truth. Brett, what's your take on the week? Have you pressed the panic button or where are you?
Definitely wouldn't say press the panic button. I think, you know, they were definitely shown up by three teams that are going to be competing. And I would argue that one of these three teams will be in the Stanley Cup final this season. But yeah, I think they just got, you know, shown up by team, really solid teams, teams full of depth. And I thought they were, you know, okay against Florida. You know, they outshot them. It was an absolute track meet, but I didn't think Markstrom had his best game and a couple unlucky bounces. But then, yeah, in both in Tampa Bay, they kind of got definitely shown up by the Lightning, and then they did make a pushback against Carolina. So I think for me, you know, like we talked last week, how bringing Sutter in was a win now sort of mentality. And to me, this just says that I think they need to make a big move here, a big trade, and bring in somebody. I'm not quite sure who and how the money shakes out, but they need a guy who can score, who can finish. Cause you know, it was very evident when it wasn't the top line scoring, like there just wasn't much offense. And Blake Coleman kind of seems like he's sort of coming out of his shooting percentage woes, but I think the Flames need another high impact forward.
Yeah. Funny you should mention that, actually, cause I was kind of, you know, chuckling a little bit, you know, after they lost these three games, a lot of the pundits in Calgary was saying, well, I hope Treliving finally realizes that they need more depth, and you know, he's got to make some deals. Do you think he's just, surely he must have realized that before these three games. I don't know. What's your take, Greg? Do you see anything? Treliving knows that they need to add depth to the team, but it's not that easy. He said that himself, right?
Yeah, he said that last year. It's like he said, this is not fantasy hockey. You need a willing trade partner that you, and you need to have deals that make sense. And so I know there are a lot of names that are being, you know, thrown about out there. And I think I mentioned Hurdle from San Jose is kind of my favorite to try and get after, but there's going to be a lot of teams who are after that guy. So it's like, how is Calgary supposed to get these guys at the trade deadline? I don't know. They may or may not. Another option is to like try and bring up secondary scoring from the AHL. I know they had Adam Rozicka in the lineup for a couple of games in this road trip, and he didn't really move the needle, but there's other guys, you know, there's, you know, for the last couple of years, I've been trumpeting the smallest man in the league, Matthew Phillips or whatever, you know, like a couple of times. So like they also could try to bring up guys from the A to see if they could jumpstart some secondary scoring, but they have to know that you can't put these guys though on a fourth line role. They have to be like, you know, top sure. nine or top six for sure. So I don't really know. I'm sure Brett Treliving has the message. I'm sure he's gotten it, but can they pull the trigger? I think if they're still near the top half of the Western Conference at the trade deadline, if they're in a top three spot in the Pacific division, I think he has to try something and something big.
Yeah. Brett, your take on that? I mean, you know, I was thinking, hey, why not start pulling guys up from the AHL at this point? You know, while their top line, you know, is the real McCoy, and they're probably one of the top lines in the league. You look down the scoring depth, and guys like you know, Backlund and Coleman and Monahan, you know, they're paying these guys, what is it, something like $17 million between the three of them to this point in the year. They've got 14 goals combined in over, you know, 33 games. What are you thinking? What's wrong with these guys? And do you send a message of some kind to them, bringing up players from Stockton, trying to shake things up?
I think if you know, looking at how Treliving says you need a willing dance partner to make a trade, I think there's an easy way to, you know, upgrade your lineup. It's, you know, it's got to be, you know, bringing up Jacob Pelletier and Matthew Phillips to play alongside Adam Rozicka, I think could absolutely, you know, work even as the fourth line, because, you know, those guys play against, you know, the best players in the AHL. And when you go up to the NHL, if you're playing against fourth line players, it's just, it's not a huge, it's not like coming up from the AHL and playing against like a Patrick Kane or those type of players. You're kind of playing those grinder guys. And I think those skilled guys could, you know, outwork those kind of caliber of players. So yeah, I think that'd be the easiest way to upgrade the team. I mean, you got to try something. I mean, Tyler Pitlick, I think, has 2 assists in 20 or so games. And, you know, Brad Richardson has maybe a goal or two. So they definitely need to do something because, you know, their top line has been doing great. Andrew Mangiapane has been doing well. But they need a couple more guys. Even Lucic has been doing well for this team this year. So, but they, you know, when the top line isn't scoring, it's very evident that there's not much else offense when, you know, if a team is kind of sort of stymieing that top line for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, I'm all in favor of bringing up guys from the AHL. It could reinvigorate my NHL, well, my pro hockey career. I as a sidebar, the Ottawa Senators, you know, where I am, they're so depleted by COVID. They were bringing up players from Carleton University and University of Ottawa to play in the farm team. So yeah, we'll see. But speaking of, you know, things they can do at this point, you know, we saw them go back a little bit. I'm not saying they're going to engage in wholesale mixing up of the lines, but we did see it in this road trip. What we saw was some changes up. I forget the Monahan. I forget that line change. The top line was the top line on Friday night against Carolina was Tkachuk, Lindholm, and Coleman. And then Gaudreau dropped back to play with Mangiapane and Monahan. What are your thoughts? What do you see there? Is that, you know, I'm thinking, you know, after 33 games, you'd think the lines would be set, but I don't know what this means. Greg, your thoughts?
Well, the only thing I can really think of is that Daryl Sutter wants to kind of balance the lines because right now they're very top heavy. We've talked about this first line all year, how great they've been, and we've talked all year how after that there's a big drop off, you know, as for secondary scoring. And I think Sutter's trying to just mix it up, see if Gaudreau can maybe find that old chemistry from his old partner in crime, Monahan, from the years past. And so I didn't really see it that game. I know that Coleman scored a goal playing on that first line. And also Gaudreau scored as well playing on the second line. So maybe it kind of showed some signs of life. And I don't really mind trying out new combinations, especially when you've kind of been a bit of a slide. Like they've lost, I think, 6 of the last 8 games. So I know that they should be trying other things to see if anything clicks, see if anything works. And I did like the fact that they've kind of removed Pitlick from the equation in recent games and we're trying other things. They've had Brett Ritchie, which I don't know if he adds that much. They've tried Ruzicka, which I think is a good thing. He needs more time at the NHL level. So I don't mind trying out these new combinations because they might not hit right away, but if they try them out for a few games, maybe they will. Maybe it'll balance things out a bit more.
Yeah. Brett, what are you thinking? If you were a Sutter behind the bench, would you be moving these lines around a little bit or sticking with what you had?
Honestly, I was kind of surprised to see the top line broken up because they've honestly been one of the best lines in the entire league for the whole season. So I kind of would have left those guys alone. I sort of see why he maybe did it. I mean, Andrew Mangiapane is a guy that, you know, really plays with the puck and he's good in the corners and, you know, Gaudreau's kind of really figuring out his 200-foot game this year. So that, you know, is maybe something that could help boost Monahan, but just the way the Tkachuk, Lindholm, Gaudreau line is played, it's hard to break them up. But after that, I mean, yeah, you kind of have to try and find something because they really haven't found much consistency outside of that top line. So yeah, it was kind of an interesting, they didn't get the wins, but you know, Goudreau did score in that game. So yeah, it's tough to say, but I think they definitely need to just keep that top line intact for sure.
Yeah. Well, this is the Flames Face-Off, brought to you by the Hockey Writers. And do be sure to follow us on your favorite social media platform. We're on all of them, easy to pick up. And we absolutely love hearing from our audience, our readers. So don't be shy about commenting on anything you hear on this show or what you read in the articles that we write. And make sure you slide on over to the Hockey Writers, click on the Calgary Flames tab, and up will come all the articles that Brett and Greg and I and others have written. And you'll find a whole pile of stuff on hockey right across the website, everything you'd want to possibly look into. So, gentlemen, I'd like to move into the shootout round. I'm going to toss out some questions, and you're going to tell me what you think. First question, the Flames have just one scheduled game this week, if it happens, and that's against, as we were discussing, the Ottawa Senators. It's Thursday night in the Saddle Dome, and give me a final score of that game, and who scores the winning goal? Brett?
Well, if it goes, I'm going to go with a 5-1 Flames win, and I'm going to go with a Johnny Gaudreau hat trick. He's really come out the gates here since the COVID outbreak, and so I like where his game's going. So I'll go with a bold pick.
All right, Greg, what are you calling for Thursday night against the Ottawa Senators? Who's going to win? Who's going to score the winning goal?
Well, I think the Flames are going to win, and but you know, the Ottawa's not as bad as everyone makes them out to be, and the Flames had a hell of a time against them last year. They kept on losing to these guys time and time out, so I'm going to say they're going to win 4-3, and Matthew Tkachuk gets the game winner because he's his game's really been on the upswing, and he's scoring goals now at a much more regular pace. So Tkachuk with the game winner.
All right, I'm calling Calgary 6-2 win, a convincing win, and Mr. Gaudreau will score the winning goal. Second question, if the Flames lose to Ottawa, should head coach Daryl Sutter schedule a week of bag skates? Brett, what do you think we're going to see there? Bag skates if they lose? And would you do it if you were the coach?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we talked so much last year about how they couldn't lose those games to Ottawa, and it ended up costing them, you know, a playoff spot. So, you got to win every night, but this is one you for sure got to win. I think, you know, playing those three teams here last week, you know, Sutter was kind of a little bit easier on them because they were tough teams, even though he still was critical of them in pressers, but. Yeah, I could absolutely see him if they go on a long break of postponed games, they'll be doing a lot of bag skating at the old Saddle Dome.
Greg, you go, what's your style here? I want to see whether you're old school. Bag skates, a week of it, if they lose against Ottawa, would you do it?
I think, yeah, I say they do it, but if they survive it after COVID, that's a whole other discussion. But absolutely, I think Sutter has been kind of playing very nice with his team in recent days and weeks. And I think he could use to slam his foot down on these guys, you know, and kind of wake them up and maybe get them out of this funk.
Okay. Sticking with you, Greg, should the Flames pick up Evander Kane off of waivers? I don't know if he's cleared, but what would you do with him? Touch him or?
I think you can't touch this guy with a 100-foot pole. He's just kind of, he's radioactive. He's toxic. I don't think anyone's going to touch him. I think he probably won't find a job in the NHL this season. It's possible he could even play for Team Canada at the Olympics at this point. So, yeah, I think just his scandals, his controversies are too much. And I say, stay away from this guy. He's talented. Yes. But too controversial for my liking.
Brett, what would you do? Would you take him, Kane, off of waivers, or is he a lost cause?
I would say 110% lost cause. Very talented hockey player, but I believe today it just went to that San Jose is terminating his contract, because not only has he already violated the NHL's COVID policy, he has now violated the AHL's COVID policies. It's a guy that would be, as a hockey player, great to have, but just the stories you've heard and, rumors and it's not worth the headache. That's for sure.
Well, I didn't realize he'd violated the AHL's COVID protocols as well. He'd batten 1,000, I guess. Good for him. Is it time to shake up the big club, Calgary, the Flames defense corps? And if it is, would you bring up Stone or Mackey from Stockton? Greg, thoughts?
Yeah, I say bring them both up. Now, that third pairing is has not been great. I know that Zadorov has been kind of, I'd say he's been weak all season long. He was a healthy scratch for like 10 games this year. And Gudbranson actually started off quite decent. He was actually not nearly as bad. He was kind of a controversial signing, but and he started very decent. But I think as the game has gone on and the season's gone on, he's kind of regressing to that Gudbranson that everyone knows and doesn't love. So I don't know. I'd say bring up Mackey and Stone. Stone is like a bad penny. He's been turning up every year for the last 3 years, and he's going to find his way into more Flames games than you think. And I think he's overdue for a kind of extended stay with the big club now.
Okay, Brett, to you on this one. I know when Gudbranson's signing was announced, you took to drinking. I'm not sure for how long, but you said you poured yourself a good scotch. So I kind of know how you may feel about that, but do they need to shake up the lower part of the D core? And would you bring up Stone and Mackey?
Yeah, I think so. And I'm in agreement with Craig there that Zadorov and Gudbranson started the season, actually not too bad. But they're definitely sliding back to what a lot of people kind of thought they were. And just haven't been as good. And even though it's a third pairing role, you still need guys to be responsible in that role. I think, last season, Michael Stone was kind of a surprise when Daryl Sutter came in. He actually had really good underlying numbers, and he actually was, making good plays. And that's kind of what I noticed with Zadorov. He likes to make those big hits, but then he takes himself out of the play. And Eric Gudbranson, he kind of always makes one bad play that just kind of sticks in my brain anyway after every game. And it kind of like wipes everything good he did that game. And all I can remember is like a pass out in front of the net to the other team. I think I'd like to see Juuso Välimäki come back up. He's got 6 points in 10 games. He's even put 36 shots on net in those 10 games. So I think, and him and Stone played relatively well together last season. So, I think they definitely need to shake up that bottom pair for sure.
All right. Just quickly turning to the bottom six then, Greg, if you had one player that you'd bring up, who would it be? I think you've already tipped your hand on that one.
I've written a couple of articles on Matthew Phillips, and I know that he played one game with the team last year at the end of the season, but I think he deserves an extended look, and because he's a shifty little player. He can really accelerate. He can really make plays. He's kind of a defensive liability, I understand, but I think he's worth a chance. Worth a shot to see if he can bring some of that AHL goal scoring to the big club. So that's my vote. The little guy.
Brett, who would you vote for if you were to bring someone up from Stockton to round out the bottom six? Who would that be?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Matthew Phillips too. I've liked Jacob Pelletier, but he's still young, and there might be some bumps along the way here in his first AHL season, but Matthew Phillips has just continued to prove that he can, put up offense in the second best league in North America. And he's a right shot, which I kind of see as something that of importance to Sutter, because Pitlick and Brett Ritchie kind of get those sort of higher up spots, but I think it's because they're right shots, which the Flames don't have a lot of. So I think a guy like Matthew Phillips on a line with Mangiapane and Michael Backlund, two guys who are already responsible in their own end and then good in the offensive end, could, you know, really help him kind of ease his way into the NHL, because he only had that one game last year against a pretty depleted COVID Vancouver team. So I'm going to say Phillips as well.
Okay. So somebody's got to leave Calgary. Who would that be? I'm going to call Dylan Dubé out here. I don't know where he's gone this year. 4 goals, 7 assists. I thought he was to be a whole lot better. Would he be the guy you sent down, Greg? What are you thinking on him?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they've given up on Dylan Dubé just yet. I know that they're kind of hoping that he'll be kind of the next Andrew Mangiapane, with because he has the skill set and he has more grit, you know. And I don't think they've given up on him. I think if they're going to send anyone down, maybe they'd send down one of the old guys like Richardson or someone like that, because, you know, they've already, you know, scratched Pitlick, you know, and maybe Brett Ritchie, like, you know, like. I think Dubé is still a work in progress, and I think he doesn't benefit from going down to the AHL at this point in his career. I think they got to keep him up. So yeah, I would say just one of these old guys who doesn't really move the needle much for me would be the ones that I would send down to the AHL.
Yeah, Brett, thoughts on Dubé? Would you send him down? I mean, he's really been disappointing so far this year. He's got to find another gear, I think.
Yeah, I think he has been a bit of a disappointment this year. There wasn't super high expectations for him, but, you know, Sutter's also been putting him at center, so that's a bit of a learning curve for a younger guy. But I agree with Greg. I think that's a guy you don't want to send down. When he was brought up for the final time from Stockton, it was, you know, proven that he didn't belong in the AHL anymore. He was, you know, one of the top players in the league. So yeah, I think a guy like Brett Ritchie, I'm probably sending down, maybe a Tyler Pitlick, who just haven't really done much for this team, you know, the not many points. And obviously Brett Ritchie has been injured for, you know, over a month, but, even last year when he was getting quite a bit of minutes with Goudreau and Monahan, and he still wasn't really even collecting secondary assists. So, yeah, I think guys, the older guys, like, yes, the veteran leadership can be important in the dressing room, but they definitely have a lot of veteran voices that would still be on the team. So I would say Ritchie or Pitlick for myself.
Okay. Hey, let's go to a couple of shout outs here. I'm going to start, and I'm going to give a shout out to Australia for deporting Novak Djokovic, the world tennis champion. And I'm tired of athletes thinking that rules don't apply to them. Good for us for standing up to them. And for that matter, we've got a few knuckleheads in the NHL that think they can run around unvaccinated and flout the rules. I won't name any names, but their initials are Tyler Bertuzzi and Evander Kane, as we were discussing. So that would be my shout out. Greg, yours? Shout out for the week?
Well, my shout out for the week would be Blake Coleman for getting his Stanley Cup ring when he went back to Tampa. I thought that was a pretty nice thing to see. I know he got it with another team, but he got back-to-back Stanley Cups, and I guess he's the first guy from Texas to win the Stanley Cup. And I've been following this guy on social media recently, and he seems to be a pretty fun guy. And I think he's a good addition for the Flames. And I think as Brett was saying earlier, I think he's found something in this past week or so, and maybe he'll have a great second half. So yeah. Shout out to him to giving his second Stanley Cup ring this week.
Yeah. Hey, and you know, the other thing with Coleman this week too was, you know, against Florida, he got 11 shots on goal, 2 shots on goal, and 8 hits against his old teammate. You know, they give him a ring and he's belting them around. And he got a goal and an assist against the Hurricanes. So, yeah, I concur with you. He deserves a shout-out. Brett, shout-out from you for the for someone during the week.
Yeah, I think for my shout-out, I'm going to give it to Johnny Gaudreau. You know, he came back from the break, and just quick look here. He's had, you know, eight points in the, since the Flames came back from their COVID break. And I, you know, I did write an article a couple of weeks ago that he's in a good position to hit 100 points this year. So I don't want to be proven wrong and have you grill me for it here down the line. So yeah, I'll just say that he's, you know, continued to look very strong for this team and continues to be one of the, sort of etch his name in Flames lore as, you know, basically one of the best forwards this team has ever had. So yeah. And then of course getting, you know, high praise from Daryl Sutter in the press conferences doesn't happen often. So good week for him for sure.
Yeah, I noticed that one. Sutter called him one of the best 200-foot players in the league now. So,
yeah.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. As always, that's been a great discussion, but unfortunately we've run out of time. And on behalf of everybody, on behalf of Greg, Brett, and myself, we'd like to thank you for listening to another episode of Flames Face Off. We'll be back in 7 days with another episode. But in the meantime, make sure that you slide on over to thehockeywriters.com and click on the Calgary tab and pick up the articles that we've been writing lately and also articles other writers in the pool have written. And do be sure to check out all the other great hockey content on hockey as a whole that we have at thehockeywriters.com. So until next week, take care.